Hello, and welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, October 3rd. I'm Caitlin Freund. New Hanover County Schools held 3 town hall-style meetings this week to answer parent questions on the new AABB reopening model. WHQR's Rachel Keith attended the first meeting on Tuesday and filed the following report.
The purpose of the meeting was to allow school administrators to answer parents' questions. Julie Varnum of Support Services addressed one question about the safety of reopening under Plan B, with 2 days of in-person classes and 3 days at home, compared to the original plan of rotating through 1 week in school and 2 at home.
We have not had any concern about the schedules that we've put in place. I think it's all going to depend on the amount of time children spend somewhere else besides being in school, but the school schedule itself is not considered to be one preferable over the other regarding safety.
As for how long the school system will remain in this plan, here's Superintendent Charles Faust.
We have not created a timeline for Plan B. What we would have to do is speak more with our health officials. Are we moving in a direction where we can have more people in the building? And if that's so, then we'll come back and we will talk with our board to share that data.
And Faust says if coronavirus cases are increasing, he'll also talk with the health department to determine if schools need to return to remote-only learning. School officials also say on the school's website they'll update a public spreadsheet about positive cases in the district. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
WHQR is continuing our reporting of local elections. In the past week, we've covered the races for the New Hanover County Board of Education, District 2 of Brunswick County's Board of Education, and District 3 for the Brunswick County Board of Commissioners. On Coastline this week, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn hosted candidates for House District 19. You can listen to interviews with all the candidates and find voting information at whqr.org. On Friday, October 2nd, North Carolina moved into Phase 3 of its coronavirus response. That means movie theaters, bars, and outdoor entertainment venues will be allowed to open at reduced capacity. Here's Rachel Lewis-Hilburn with the details.
Specifically, venues that can hold more than 10,000 people can open at 7% capacity, but smaller outdoor venues like Greenfield Lake Amphitheater are also included in Governor Roy Cooper's new executive order.
Like arenas or amphitheaters, may operate outdoors at 30% of outdoor capacity or 100 guests, whichever is less. Movie theaters and conference centers may open indoor spaces to 30% of capacity or 100 seated guests, whichever is less.
Bars must be outdoor-only operations at 30% of outdoor capacity, or 100 guests, again, whichever is less. Cooper's also allowing outdoor amusement parks to open at 30% occupancy. But all of these changes come with caution and a shorter time frame, just 3 weeks for evaluation.
Our stability is fragile, and with cooler weather and flu season comes new challenges.
The number of COVID-19 cases has leveled in North Carolina, but the percent of positive cases has ticked up slightly. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.
You're listening to The Weekly from WHQR Public Media. As the week ended, a federal judge ruled that the census count will continue until August 31st, though the Trump administration is expected to appeal. But as of now, WHQR's Rachel Keith reports Wilmington's self-response rate still lags behind most major cities in the state.
Infrastructure projects, emergency and healthcare services, schools, public transportation, and unemployment benefits. These are all funded through census data, and there's a lot at stake. North Carolina has a total response rate close to 98%, but even this rate is considered one of the lowest in the country. And Marilyn Stevens, the Census Bureau's assistant regional manager, says that's not good enough.
Well, we have to get to 100%. The Constitution outlines that we count all persons. So this is a population and housing census. So we have to account for all 130 million households nationwide. So 99.99 doesn't work.
And Wilmington only has a self-reported rate near 62%. Cities like Asheville, Raleigh, and Greensboro have higher completion rates. Stevens says even if you've filled out your form, there's still something you can do.
Make a list of 10 people. Call them up and say, have you completed this census? This is so important to our community. We all must become a committee of one. We don't get a do-over. We want everyone to understand it only takes less than 10 minutes to ensure that your community has its fair share of resources over the next 10 years. And the question is, will our numbers support our needs?
Census workers will continue to knock on doors of non-responders. Residents can also fill out a form by going to my2020census.gov or by calling 844-330-2020. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
Finally, a look ahead to Monday's final Board of Commissioners vote on the hospital sale. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn took a deep dive into the questions that remain. Here's her report.
Since commissioners announced the potential sale more than a year ago, opponents have argued the county should not let go of its single most valuable asset or control of local health care. Supporters say they're excited about selling when the organization is thriving and proceeds can go to critical community needs. But questions remain. Questions such as, why the rush?
It is not ready. There is no need for this. And it's too big of a decision for it to, have to go like that.
Rob Zappel is one of five county commissioners who will vote on the purchase agreement. He's been raising questions about the sale since it came up in July of 2019. Even now, he doesn't understand why the process seems to keep speeding up.
This rush and this overall sense of this has to happen by what's now even on an accelerated basis has been accelerated by two more weeks, moving the final vote from the 19th to the 5th. And that just happened last week. No explanation. The image that I keep using is that the hospital people feel like they're diving for the tape at the end of a foot race.
Commissioner Woody White says getting it done before the November 3rd election, when a new board is seated, is the most responsible decision the current board can make. The conversation about selling the hospital, he says, dates back more than a decade. To let a newly elected board tackle it?
I know what it's like to be a new commissioner. I know the first 30 days, you're trying to figure out where the coffee pot is. The next 60 days, you're trying to figure out where your parking spot is at one of the 10 committees that you sit on. For something this important that's going to impact this community for generations, you want people that know what they're doing, that have the history and the background.
Opponents believe the rush is because the current board has the votes to approve the sale, and that may not be true after the election. Once the sale actually closes in March of 2021, the proceeds, estimated at about $1.25 billion, are destined for a newly created community foundation.
The core issue is whether this will be a private foundation or it will be a public or an open foundation.
A private foundation is not subject to open meetings or open records requirements. In other words, the press and the public would not be allowed into meetings, nor would they be allowed access to financial documents. Chairperson Julia Olson-Bozeman says that on that point, she would like to see some accommodation.
I think that the people certainly have a right to know where the money's being spent. And so I definitely think there needs to be a couple of public hearings every year with the foundation where people do get a chance to go in there and talk.
And who are the people who will sit on the board of this private foundation that is managing public money? Commissioner White says they will not be politicians.
And so the idea was to have your cake and eat it too. By that I mean have county government appoint some of the people, but have the private endowment private so that it can be apolitical. No politics, nobody grandstanding, no candidates going to speak to the foundation and running a campaign on whether or not we should have a new high school here or there.
All 11 people, says White, will have to live in New Hanover County, and he says there will be gender and racial diversity.
There'll be people with community leadership skills, finance, social justice, equity.
Olson-Bozeman says she has complete faith in the first slate of board members.
I trust them, and I know that they're going to do the right thing. So I'm just ready to get politics out of it. Ready for money to come and go.
On the other hand, supporters of a public foundation say open meetings and records would provide greater accountability. But if it's public, it will be subject to oversight by the local government commission. And if it is, that $1.25 billion will be limited, according to county staff and officials, to a very low return on investment. Commissioner Woody White explains.
The Chapter 159-30 plainly states what you can and can't do. And it's a maximum of 1.5% to 2% because you're investing in municipal grade low bonds, you're investing in T-bills, you're investing in guaranteed income products that produce nothing, basically.
That low return, as compared to a strategy that would bring in a 5% return, says Chair Julia Olson-Bozeman, is significant.
We're talking about a difference between 20 or 30 million a year and 50 or 60 million. I hope we don't even spend any of it for years and we just watch it grow.
Zappel agrees the county shouldn't forfeit that higher return, but he argues the local government commission has the authority to approve an investment strategy that could yield up to 5%. Olson-Bozeman says she's confident, though, the foundation is structured so it will be free to invest according to a strategy laid out by an institutional investment manager.
And if for some reason we do fall into the LGC, then we will be seeking from the legislature permission or the authority to do a more aggressive investment schedule like New Hanover Regional.
Commissioner White says he doesn't believe the LGC would come after the county with legal action.
The burden is going to be on the LGC to choose to go to court to enforce that. Now, are they going to do that? I hope not. Because if they do that, it would result in this community potentially losing $30 million a year in money that can be used to help improve people's lives. So why would it do that?
And about that money, says Commissioner Zappel, well, the amounts laid out in the purchase agreement don't add up for him.
There's an extra $35 million here that the county is committed to that we're not getting. So where does that $35 million come from? And how is that accounted for?
Commissioner White says it's nuanced, and there are more elements in this kind of deal that figure into closing costs.
There are leases that need to be terminated. There are costs associated with new leases, old leases, midterm leases. There are corporations that need to be dissolved and recreated. There are fluctuations day to day in the cash of many, many different accounts in various holdings, foundation, hospital, etc.
At closing, all the money in the escrow account gets zeroed out and moved to the community foundation, says White. Olson-Bozeman and White say they're also excited about what the foundation will mean for the region's future.
Particularly right now, you know, who's suffering the greatest impact from COVID and lack of in-classroom instruction? The poor, the minorities.
Exhibit C in the asset purchase agreement lays out where the returns on investment will go.
Local teacher fellows program, which was cut years ago. Access to scholarships for post-secondary education. This endowment is going to set up a scholarship program. That's just one bucket.
There are also provisions in Exhibit C for eradicating food deserts, expanding access to high-quality, fair-cost physical and mental health clinics, and investing in an on-demand, cost-effective public transit system. But Commissioner Zappel still worries the process is moving too fast, and the county is selling an institution it's taken 53 years to build.
All this money belongs to the taxpayers of New Hanover County, and you know, early on or, you know, several months ago, it became clear to me in tracking this that there was nobody at the table either writing the documents or, you know, putting the legal brain power or the accounting power whose sole focus was that. What is best for the county taxpayers?
Once the asset purchase agreement is approved, the state attorney general's office begins its review of the transaction. Rachel Lewis Hilburn, WHQR News.
Driving into downtown Wilmington looks a little different these days. On Around Town with Rhonda Bellamy this week, Rhonda spoke with Grayson Davis, who helped curate the Black Lives Do Matter public art installation at Gervais Memorial Park. You can hear that interview on WHQR.org. And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. You can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM. Visit our website or stream us online anytime at whqr.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.